Well, I want to see a show of hands here. You don't have to raise your hand if you want. But how many of you have made or are in the process of making a New Year's resolution? At least one, okay. Or maybe you have a few that you're making. All right. Resolutions, New Year's resolutions. Well, you know, I guess what we're saying is, well, here's a brand new year. Okay, I need some things to change. And I think that's the key word there with these resolutions that we make. I think we see things in our lives and we see things that we want to be different and we don't like some certain things. We know some certain things need to change. So that new year comes, we say, oh, a new start, a new year. I will resolve not to do this thing anymore, to do this from now on. A resolution. And so we like to make those New Year's resolutions. And but you know, the truth is that most of them go unfulfilled. That is the sad truth. We desire change. We make these resolutions, but most of them go unfulfilled. Matter of fact, after 6 weeks, fewer than half of the people who made resolutions are still keeping them. And so you could really say they don't work too well for us. We desire that change, and these New Year's resolutions are not working too well for us. And so I want to suggest something this morning to you. I've got a new word. Maybe I've coined this word. I don't know. I feel like the Lord gave it to me. But instead of a New Year's resolution, why don't we this morning try to make some New Year's faith solutions? Instead of a resolution, let's make some New Year's faith solutions. New Year's faith solutions. Because the truth is, a faith that works is a faith that works. That's a true statement. Look at it with me. You'll see that truth in James chapter 2. Turn with me to James chapter 2. And if you're new at this, the New Testament's on your right there. And you've got, you'll see 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and Timothy and Hebrews. And eventually you'll come to James. Right after Hebrews. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. Let's look at this and pay attention to what a true faith is. A faith that works is a faith that works. Look at verse 14. God says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." And so we see here that there is a true kind of faith. There's a false faith where we can deceive ourselves and we can fool ourselves and think we've got this faith. But then there's a true faith that we read about here. Well, to set your New Year's faith solutions, you must do a few things, and we see them. We see the principles here in this passage. To set your New Year's faith solutions, to see that true change in your life, first of all, you must let Him, and when I say Him, I'm speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. You must let Him save you by faith, first of all. To see any change, you must let Him save you by faith. And you see, we see here a true faith, a saving faith, not a false faith. We see a true saving faith. You know, I've heard a number of people say before, many times over the years, and you've probably heard it too, talking to different people, talking to people about the Lord. I've heard a number of people say, well, yeah, I know Jesus lived. Yeah, I know He lived. I believe that. I know He died. I know He died for my sins and He died for the sins of the world. I believe that. I believe He was resurrected. And I believe in all that saving work, everything He did for me. Yeah, I believe it all. Matter of fact, I agree with it all. But is that enough? Is that it? Is that a true saving faith? Well, what did you just read about? What did you just read in James chapter 2? Is that enough? Is he saved? Is that person, let's call him Sally. Or let's call her Sally. Or let's call her John. They say, I believe all that stuff about Jesus. Well, is Sally saved from her sins? Is John saved from his sins? I think this is part of the reason that God gave us this scripture in James chapter 2 is so that God is clarifying to us what exactly is saving faith. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You teach us, Lord. Get me out of the way. Lord Jesus, we need to hear Your voice. Speak to us. Give us Your message this morning, Lord. We pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. And Father, one more thing. Father, give us soft hearts. Give us receptive hearts. Make our hearts like that nice, fertile soil that Your Word, the seed, falls on, and then it blooms into life and multiplies and has great fruit. Lord, make our hearts like that. Receptive to whatever You want to tell us this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, you must let Him save you by faith. Well, is that enough? What they just believed right there. Well, we know from this passage of Scripture, a genuine faith, a saving faith, a true faith, produces works. While a faith without works is really no faith at all. It's dead. It's not a faith. It's not a faith that'll save you. We see that in what we've just read. Well, we know from this passage that God wants us all to have this genuine faith that produces works. So, let's see what it looks like. First of all, we must be saved by this kind of faith. Let's look at what it is not, this saving faith. What is it not? Look at verses 14 through 17. Let's see what saving faith is not. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose if a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So what is faith not? This saving faith, what is it not? It's not just an intellectual assent, believing that God did all these things, just like Sally and John. Just believing that God did all that, that's not a saving faith. That's an intellectual assent. That's saying, yeah, I believe that he did all that. Saving faith is not an intellectual assent. We see that in verse 19. Here's intellectual assent, just believing. God says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. So it's not enough just to believe Jesus. Every demon that's out there believes Jesus exists and does all these great things and did this saving work on the cross and is raised from the dead. They believe all that. But are they saved? No, no. They have intellectuals and they believe it all. But there's no action involved with what they believe. Intellectual sin is just believing the facts with no action. If it does not move you to action, then it's dead and it's useless. So if the faith that you have does not move you to action, it is dead and useless. You see, this is what was missing from Sally and John. There was no action accompanied. There was just an intellectual assent, and that is not saving faith. And if that is not saving faith, well, then what is saving faith? Hello, let's hear. God, I want to be saved. I want to make sure I'm saved. What is saving faith? Well, saving faith, true, genuine saving faith, not only believes all the facts of the gospel, not only believes everything about Jesus and what Jesus did and all that, but it goes beyond that. It believes all the facts of the gospel. But then it does the action of placing personal trust in Christ for salvation. So it's not enough just to believe all this about Jesus. Yeah, I believe it. All the demons believe that and they shudder. But no, true saving faith believes it all and then does the action of putting trust in Jesus. Putting their faith in Jesus to save them. Transferring that trust. Trusting Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. It's similar to the chair that you're sitting in. That chair that you came in, you found your seat, and you sat down. Now, you had faith before you sat in that chair. When you walked up to that chair, you not only saw it, and you believed in it. You believed it existed. You believed it was real. It was there before your eyes. You believed it was blue and it was cushiony. You probably even had an image of your mind of what it would feel like once you sat down, that nice cushion, and leaned back. And you believed that it would hold you up too if you sat on it. Well, you believed all that about the chair. I believe it's there, it exists, and I believe it'll hold me up if I sit in it. But is it holding you up yet? Before you sat down, you believed all that. Is it doing anything for you? Have you placed your faith in it yet? No, not yet. You see, there's this action of not only believing in that chair, believing it'll hold you up, believing that it's blue and everything else, but then you actually put the action of putting your trust in that chair when you sat in it. You actually believed it all enough to say, you know what? Now I'm going to put an action to it, and I'm going to trust in this chair completely, and I'm going to actually take my weight off and put all my weight trusting in this chair that it's going to hold me up. Here I go. And you sat down. And it was true. Your faith was right. And that chair held you up. But you see, there was that action. It's just like an airplane. Maybe, let's say, Hawaii would be the favorite place I would want to go one day. And the only way to get to Hawaii is on an airplane from here. And so, let's say this airplane was before me. And I wanted to get from point A to point B, from here, Montgomery, Alabama, to Hawaii. Well, I walk up to that plane, and there it is. I believe in it. This big, huge metal piece of machinery. I believe in it. There's the pilot. I see him get on. We say hello to each other. I believe he knows what he's doing, and he's been trained, and he can actually make that thing get up off the ground and fly over the oceans and get me to Hawaii. And so I believe in all that, but until I step up on that plane and get in my seat and put that seatbelt on, I haven't really put my faith in it. There's no action to it yet. I can believe it all day long, but I'm not going to get from point A to point B, Montgomery, Alabama, to Hawaii, until I truly put action to my faith and I trust in it. And I say, all right, and I get up on that plane and I say, pat that pilot, I'm trusting you to get me there, safe and sound, and this big, huge piece of machinery. I'm trusting y'all to get me there. And then you sit down in that seat and you put that seatbelt on. Now you've truly placed your faith in that airplane and in that pilot. And then hopefully, hopefully it was a good decision and you get from point A to point B. That is saving faith, friends. Brothers, sisters, that is saving faith. You believe in Jesus Christ. You want to get one day from here, point A, planet Earth, to point B. When you slip off into eternity, there's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. It's one or the other. You want, probably, I hope you want to be in heaven. So you want to get from A to B. And God has said the way to get there is Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. You can't get there on your own because you're a sinner and you've sinned against God. And the penalty is death and hell and eternal punishment and separation from God. But I sent Jesus and He took all your sins upon Him and He took your punishment and He died on the cross. And then He was raised from the dead. And if you will now turn from yourself and your sin and you'll have a deep change of mind and you'll just turn to Jesus. He's your airplane. He's your pilot. He's the way there. And if you'll put your faith in Him and you'll trust Him, and you'll call on Him, you'll ask Him to save you and get you there, then He'll get you there. But do you see the difference? You can believe in Him all day long, believe He did all that, but what do you have to do? You have to put action to it. What do you have to do? You have to go to Jesus personally. Not mama or daddy or somebody you grew up with or so-and-so was a preacher and you're related to him or I don't know what it is for you. Not being in church, not coming since you were... since you can remember you've been in the church doors, being baptized at whatever age, none of that. None of that. But just the action of going to Jesus personally, just you and Him, saying, Jesus, wow, I'm a sinner. Thank you. I believe that you did all that for me. And you know what? I'm trusting in you. You're my airplane. I'm putting my whole life in your hands. I'm putting my whole eternity in your hands, Jesus. I give my life to you. And Jesus, if you're like that seat right there, I'm coming and I'm putting my full weight on you and I'm sitting down, I'm giving you my life. I trust you to save me from my sins and Lord, take me to heaven one day, whenever that is. Put all my faith in you. That's saving faith. That's what James is talking about here. That's a genuine faith. Well, how can you recognize it? How can you recognize it in your own life? Do you have it? Do you have it? How can you know? Look at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. There's the test for you. There's the litmus test for you. Are you trusting in Jesus? Have you put all your faith in Him to save you? Have you done that action of giving your life to Him, trusting Him to save you? And then if you have, He will produce works through you. He will produce good works through your life. He gives us a couple examples here. And so you need to ask yourself that question. Do I have works that He's motivated me to do? Is there anything He's motivated me to do? Since I believe I've been saved, has He motivated me to do anything? Has my faith produced works, because otherwise it's dead. I don't want that. I want the true faith. And he gives us a couple examples here. He gives us the example of Abraham. And he says, Abraham, his faith, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. But then it says that his belief was fulfilled by his works. God called him one day and said, go sacrifice your son Isaac. And he went to go do it. And so when he was holding the knife in the air to kill his own son, whom he loved, he was following God completely. His faith moved him to do that. And God took it away, and God said, no, 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 do not do that. And God provided another sacrifice, an animal in the thicket. God provided for him to sacrifice. But it says that Abraham's, you could see his faith by his actions. You could see that God told him to do something, and he went and did it. That wasn't him on his own saying, oh, I'm going to get a knife and go hold it over my son. No, his faith produced works. And it was fulfilled, that righteous, that it was credited to him as righteousness. And then Rahab the prostitute, even Rahab, and the way she had been living, God gives her as a great example of faith. She had the faith to hide God's people. It was her faith that led her to do that. So her faith led to actions. So here's the question for you. Does your faith in God, in Jesus Christ, does your faith motivate you to do anything? Have you ever heard His voice and known that it was Him that was leading you to do something, and so you did it? Well, that's a good test. That's a good test. Why do you do what you do for the Lord? Is it to earn His favor or win His favor or something like that? Well, maybe you don't have it yet. His favor is freely given. You just repent. You just turn to Him and call on Him to save you from your sins. His favor is freely given. But then, why do you do what you do? Is it ever because He's leading you to do it? Is it ever because you believe this is what He wants? You believe this is where He's leading you. You believe this is what He's telling you. Well, that's evidence of saving faith. He's working in you and through you and leading you. Just like Abraham, just like Rahab. That's the evidence. Your faith is accompanied by works. You see, because faith by itself is invisible. Just like God. You don't see God anywhere. You don't see Jesus. But, and faith is the same way. You don't see faith. You can't see faith. But the deeds are the evidence of a true faith. You can see the deeds. You can see the result of a true faith. Can't you? Just like God, you can't see the wind. But how do we know the wind exists? You can go outside and you can see these trees moving. Well, how does that happen? I don't see anything hitting those. I don't see anything. I can't see the wind, but I see the evidence of the wind, don't I? You can't see faith, but you can see the evidence of it. You can't see God, but you can see the evidence of Him. And so, to set your New Year's faith solutions, you must first let Him save you by faith. And next, you must let Him live through you by faith. You must not only let Him save you by faith, but you must let Him live through you by faith. So this true, genuine faith, it's not only a faith that saves you, it's a faith to live by. You see, if my good works are the evidence of a genuine faith, if God motivates me to do things and then I do those things, and those are those works, and that's an evidence of my faith. And so if my good works are the evidence of a genuine faith, does that mean that once I'm saved by faith, then I need to just go and do a whole bunch of good works? Well, look at Galatians chapter 3. If you can find it before I read it. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. Listen to this. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, that is, get saved, receive the Holy Spirit of God? Did He come to live in you? Did you get that Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? You see, we see there that God says you're saved by that faith. God did all the work necessary to save you. You just put your faith in Him. And you trusted Him. And then He saved you. And now He says, now you've been saved by faith. But now that you are saved and you're a Christian, are you going out and just living in your own human effort? He says, are you going back to your own human effort couldn't save you from your sins. Why do you think your own human effort could help you to do the works of God, to do everything God wants you to do? It can't. You can't do it in your own strength. So He says, in the same way that you're saved by faith, that genuine faith in Him. He's the one who saved you. You just put your faith in Him. In the same way you're saved, it's the same way you are to live. You're to live by faith in Him. Trust in Him. And He'll do the work through you. He'll live through you. He'll live the Christian life through you. You can't do it. He'll do it. You just have faith. You trust in Him. You trust Him to live through you. That's what we see there. That we're saved by faith, not by good works. And we are to live by faith and not by good works. This is what it means to live. You've heard it said, Galatians chapter 5, living by the Spirit. I believe it's chapter 5. To live by the Spirit and not in our own strength or not in the flesh. This is what this means. You live by faith. John 6:29, Jesus said, the work of God is this. The people were asking Jesus, what are the good works that God requires of us? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. That's the good works that God requires of you, is to believe in the one, trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus to live through you. We see it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, the Apostle Paul declares. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But now Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So that is how to live the Christian life. No longer by my human effort, my human strength, but now Christ lives in me. And so I just live by faith in Him. I just trust in Him. I trust Him to live His life through me. I trust Him to live the Christian life through me, just like I was saved by Him doing that saving work for me. That's how I live. We're saved by faith, and we live by faith. Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 17 says this, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There it is. God is praying for us. The Apostle Paul is praying for us that in our inner being, that we would live by faith in Christ. Christ to live through us. So to set your New Year's faith solutions, you must let Him save you by faith. You must let Him live through you by faith. And finally, you must let Him change you by faith. That's where the New Year's faith solution comes from, instead of a resolution. A resolution is all about my human effort, just doing the best I can. I got to stop this thing. But no, why don't you let Him change you by faith, by His power? Have a New Year's faith solution instead of a resolution. I was thinking about all this yesterday and I was looking at it some more. And let me share with you just how it plays out, having these faith solutions. Well, what is it? Well, here's what you do. So you feel like God wants to make some changes in your life at this new year. Well, here's what you do. First, you find out, what does He have in mind? You see, it's not what you want to change. It's not that you want to lose 10 pounds and you want to do this and this. Who cares what you think? I shouldn't care what I think about myself. The only thing that really matters is, what does God want me to do? What does He want for me? What changes does He want in my life. And so, you know, the first thing we need to do to make these New Year's faith solutions is to ask the Lord. Go before the Lord and ask Him, God, what do you have in mind for me? What are the New Year's faith solutions you have for me? What do you want me to change, God? You get alone with Him. You get before Him and you ask Him, what do you want to change in my life, God? Spend some time until He tells you. Stay there until He tells you. What do you want to change, God? What do you have in mind? What do you desire that I change? What are the New Year's faith solutions you desire? What is your will for me, Lord? And you see, then He'll reveal it to you. And then He'll identify. And that's the key word here. If you're taking any notes, write down identify. Because I want you to remember IABC. Maybe you can remember that. Remember that. ABC is simple, and then I. If you need change, IABC. The I stands for identify. And so you ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to change? What is your will? And so once He shows it to you, you identify that. And I did this yesterday. And so He showed me a couple things. And you know, it might be a New Year's faith solution for one day. You may get up in the morning and just say, Lord, what do you want to change in me today? What do you want me to do differently today? Might be just for that day. That's what I felt like He was telling me yesterday when I did it. Here's two things, Derek. This is what I want today. So identify what He wants to change. And then, how do you do it? A, B, C. A, admit. Admit that you can't. That's your human effort. Go ahead and tell Him. Admit, Lord, okay, I see you want the change here. I can't do it. In my human effort, by myself, I can't do it. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And He wants you totally dependent on Him. So just go ahead and tell Him. A, admit, Lord, I admit I cannot do this. I see you want this change in my life, but I can't do it. B, but Lord, that stands for believe. But Lord, I believe you can. You live inside of me, Almighty God, Jesus Christ. I believe you can do that thing. I believe you can change. You could change me. You could do it through me. Yeah, I believe that. So go ahead and tell Him, I believe you could do it. I can't do it, Lord, but I believe you could do it through me. And then C, call. And so you know what, Lord, since I believe you can do it, I'm going to go ahead and call on you. Lord, would you do it? Will you please do it? Would you change me? I'm trusting you to do it. And then watch what happens. And watch what He does. I, A, B, C. Well, I don't know what it is for you today, but Chris is going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn. And why don't you just talk to the Lord? Why don't you ask Him? Why don't you ask Him right now as Chris leads us in this song, God, what are your faith solutions for me? What do you want me to change? Maybe for you it's you've realized you don't have a genuine faith. Maybe you've realized, yeah, I'm not sure I know Jesus. I'm not sure if I'm producing these works. I'm not sure if I just have that saving faith like in that airplane or this chair. I don't know if I've actually made that action step of putting my faith in Jesus to save me from my sins. Well, if that's you this morning, just hear the Lord's voice. You just step out of your seat. You follow Him. You come. You walk down this aisle. And tell me about it. And we'll pray together. We'll talk together. Maybe the thing that you're hearing from the Lord is that you need to be a member of this church. You need to join this church. Well, then you come. You come during this song. You can join this church. But as He leads us, you pray and you ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to change? What are your faith solutions for me right now? And then remember, A, B, C, admit to Him, I can't do it. I believe you can. And I'm asking you to do it, Lord. And trust Him.